Almost Right, the podcast where we look at movies and TV shows from the villain's perspective and dare to ask, were they really all that bad? I'm your host, Craig Fay.
And I'm your host, Rebecca Reeds.
And this week on the podcast, we are doing Crazy Stupid Love.
And boy, is it stupid. Oh, man.
Yeah, is this your first time watching this?
No, I think it's my... I've definitely seen it before, but okay. I think I've seen it maybe twice.
Exactly. I think I saw it when it first came out.
Yeah. I mean,
liked it fine when
really
it came
just
out.
It's Ryan Gosling's abs and then movie around that. It's really that's it. That's the whole movie.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought there was some. I liked it for the most part. I thought that Steve Carell and Julianne Moore, I thought were good. And I don't know. I kind of liked, like, this movie is full of actors that you're like, I like to see. I like it when I see you in a movie.
Oh yes, yes, yes. But this feels like a. Like, I don't know, to me it just kind of feels comforting, but in a weird way of like, okay. I don't, like I'm freezing to death or something. I'm like, oh, it's getting so warm. The story's not great, but I'm just dying, so I don't know what it is.
Oh dear.
Oh,
that's
dear.
Wow. Okay.
Am I starting to bleed?
This movie is like you're freezing to death.
I don't know why I have this attitude right now. That's not what I meant. You kind of get what I meant, though.
You
say
visions of your grandmother, as you're like, yeah. Well, if that description didn't sell you on it, if you haven't seen this movie, basically it starts with our two main characters, Cal, played by Steve Carell, and Emily, played by Julianne Moore, and they are a married couple. They are out for a dinner, clearly. They're very comfortable and slash bored with each other. They're just going through the motions. And they're trying to decide what they want for dessert. And Steve Carell's like, let's say it at the same time. And he says cheesecake. And she says, I want a divorce. And then...
Conflicting energies.
Literally not on the same page. She then reveals that she slept with a coworker, David Lynn-Hagen. Actually, they have a pretty funny running joke about that, who's played by Kevin Bacon. And so she reveals that she slept with a coworker, and Steve Carell basically shuts down, doesn't want anything. He's like, fine, I'll move out. We're getting divorced. He moves out. He's some sort of sad sack guy. He's telling everybody at this bar that his wife slept with David Lynn-Hagen.
I love that.
And sort of a playboy... that we met earlier, played by Ryan Gosling, Jacob, sort of takes this poor middle-aged man under his wing and sort of shows him how to dress properly and dress for his, you know, and have confidence and all the rest, and how to sort of talk to women and all the rest. And Steve Carell sort of like reinvents himself, of course, the whole time realizing that he just really misses his wife. Mm-hmm. And at a certain point here, we've also seen Jacob, Ryan Gosling, hitting on Emma Stone, Hannah. And Hannah's kind of going through her thing where she's studying for the bar exam and like is dating Josh Groban, who's a fucking wiener lawyer. Who's like, oh, when you pass your bar exam, we'll be back in this mall, Mexican restaurant for a big surprise. And Hannah thinks that he's going to propose 'cause they're dating. So she's like rejecting Jacob, the hot guy. This is a movie where there's like many plot lines going through it. So there's also a very disturbing plot line where
it's so disturbing.
Yeah, where a 17-year-old babysitter has a crush on Steve Carell, Cal, and is like trying to seduce him, and he's thankfully oblivious to the whole thing. And the son has a crush on the babysitter. The 13-year-old son has a crush on the 17-year-old babysitter and is harassing her, basically, sending her unwanted text messages and everything. It all comes to a head sort of at this, like, Cal, decides, you know what, I'm going to make this effort. I'm going to fight for my wife. I'm going to win her back. And he builds this, mini golf thing, which has sentimental value in there. To win his wife back over, and then big twist, the whole family's getting together, and wouldn't you know it, Emma Stone is Steve Carell's daughter that they had when they were, and Julianne Moore's a daughter who they had when they were teenagers. So Ryan Gosling has met Emma Stone and they've fallen in love. There's a lot of like weaving that goes with this. And
layers.
So then there's a big fight because Steve Carell's like, I don't want Ryan Gosling dating my daughter because he's a womanizing piece of shit. Not realizing that he's him. And then Kevin Bacon shows up and everyone starts. And then the dad of the babysitter shows up because she tried to send him nudes and they think so. There's basically a big brawl, and then at the end, I think Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling stay together and are happy, and we don't actually know if Cal and if those two
it is back. Heavily implied,
heavily implied,
heavily implied.
And then the grossest thing of all is the 17-year-old babysitter. Anyway, we'll get into that. But that's basically the plot. For sure have missed things.
No, it's fine.
It's a weaving thing.
Just let the cold take you over.
Yeah.
Just let it set in slowly.
And I will say, though, this movie is memorable to me for one thing, because there's been two twists in movies where I go, I should have seen that coming.
Yeah.
One is that, and they're actually both very similar twists. I'm like, how am I not movie savvy enough? One was the twist in Spider-Man Homecoming that the girl that Spider-Man is trying to date ends up being the daughter of the Vulture. Right.
Oh, yes. Okay.
I should have seen that coming. I didn't. It completely blindsided me.
Yeah.
And this movie is the other one. I should have picked up that Emma Stone is their daughter because everything else is connected.
Yes.
But that absolutely did get me the first time.
Well, no, because it just kind of seems like she's there to get this womanizing man to learn a lesson.
Sure.
Like, you can kind of see how it places in without her being the daughter.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. But as soon as it's revealed, you're like, oh, of course, you idiot. You know about movies. You knew this was happening. Anyway.
It's also weird to call your daughter Nana. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole thing. And you think they're talking about like a grandmother. We can get into that. But first, we're going to get to who we think the villain of this movie is, which I think will be pretty interesting in a second. But first, guys, just a quick note from us. On November 5th, we are going to be participating in Extra Life Game Day, which is a 24-hour live streaming event with all the proceeds going to Sick Kids Hospital.
Sick Kids, one of the greatest organizations of all time.
Oh, my God.
One of the greatest. They are somebody when they ask me to donate money at wherever store I'm at or whatever, if it's Sick Kids, it's a yes. It's the one.
Because they do amazing work. And I think, like, one thing that, like, amazing medical care, all the rest, and, like, really caring for kids. But, like, another big thing about them is, like, we need to keep the families together while, like, they're going through treatment. And, like, I kind of know firsthand how important that is. You know, like if you have a kid there, it's like you don't leave that hospital.
No.
You know what I mean? And the kids want their parents around and all the rest. So it's just, like, that's such, like, a wonderful thing that they do, like, trying to keep the family together in an incredibly hard situation.
Yes. Know? So if you guys want to help out, at the From Superheroes Network will be hosting a stream with a variety of events, including like gaming, watch parties, and a podcast taping of this podcast. Okay. We're going live. We're going uncut. What can happen? I don't know why. I feel like I'm going to get so much spicier knowing it's live. Like I'm stressing myself out about it a little bit. I'm going to be honest with you guys. Every $20 donation gets you entered into a prize draw on the stream, which includes some free t-shirts from tpublic.com. Thank you so much, tpublic. With more prizes and incentives to be announced leading up to the event. Also, every $50 donation, this is the big one, every $50 donation gets you access to the back catalog of every Patreon exclusive episode of every podcast on the From Superheroes Network. So that's 225 episodes from Talk From Superheroes. I Hate It But I Love It, and ourselves, The Villain Was Right. Guys, you got to get on this. Yeah. Also, double dipping. If you put in $50, you get that and you get entered twice.
Yeah.
For other free prizes. Every $20 donation gets you entered in. Do it up, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. So visit extralife.fromsuperheroes.com today to donate. At that link, you can also get event info, including our schedule, charity details, and you can also follow on Twitch to be notified when we're live on November 5th. So if you don't want to miss it, donate now, and you'll get a notification when we're live. So once again, that's extralife.fromsuperheroes.com. That's extralife.fromsuperheroes.com. And thank you so much for everyone who's donated, and we're hoping to see you guys November 5th.
Yeah, hell yeah. We're going to get spicy as hell. I promise spice, everyone. Let's do it. Let's raise some fucking money. Let's get crazy.
I'm very excited for this.
Oh, my God.
But let's get to it. So who do you peg as the villain of this movie? Because I think it's a rom-com. Lots of villains in this.
I mean, the Baconator for sure.
Yeah, you're pegging Kevin Bacon as...
Well, he's definitely a villain. Like, he's... Yes. He's shouted at. Like, his name is circulating in bars. Like,
yeah.
He's got to be a villain, right?
100%.
Okay, next one.
I think the movie, especially off the top, views Emily Julia Moore's character as the villain. She's the one who sleeps with the guy.
Okay.
And she's the one who files for divorce.
Yes.
Wrecking Steve Carell. So I think the movie thinks she's a bit of a villain.
I don't know about that. Because, like, I think the movie thinks, like, there's moments of this movie where I'm like, oh, so we're really just blaming him, eh? For cheating. His cheating.
Oh, yeah. No, but I, like, that's who I'm here to defend, though, is Emily.
Oh,
I
yeah.
think she, Emily Julianne Moore. I'm going to be switching between character names.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
Like, yeah.
We're loose.
We're real loose. Yeah, I don't know. So I think she's sort of, certainly at the beginning of the movie, she's viewed as a villain.
Okay, fair enough. Yes.
She brought this unwelcome change onto Steve Carell.
Okay, yes.
I think Ryan Gosling's character is even sort of considered a bit of a villain.
Okay, yes. I could, I could see that for sure. Steve Carell, or sorry, Cal's ex-best friend, villain.
Oh,
fucking villain.
Villain. Yeah. Do you want to start
Life
with that one?
Villain.
Oh. Brutal.
As
him, who I will always recognize as Drew Carey's brother.
That's so funny.
That's like such a deep dive.
That is. I didn't even, but my brain wouldn't have connected that until you
said it. You know how
there's
the first time you see an actor and like it hits your
brain? Oh, it's done. Yeah, it's over. It's like the first, when I started watching Breaking Bad, I was like, there's no way this guy's not going to be Hal.
Yeah. Well, he did,
though. Fucking nailed it.
And
Jesus Christ.
Now you're like, why does Walter White have three kids?
Yeah, oh, so funny.
So that friend, I didn't even write down his name.
No, it doesn't matter.
What an absolutely brutal,
listen,
so brutal.
If you're going to break up with me, don't give me a gift.
Yeah.
I don't want a gift on the way out.
Well, and it's because the situation is like his wife has left him. Cal's wife has left him. He's at the bar. He calls up his like one and only friend that he's got in the world, this, you know, couple friend, like the guy from this couple that they know. Yeah, he shows up, chugs a glass of white wine, and then says, my wife says we need to pick between the two of you, and we picked your wife. Sorry, I got you some cologne. Here it is. And shows up late, too.
Oh, yeah! Showing up late for a breakup is, like, fucking insane. First of all, I don't subscribe to this idea that, like, if your friends are splitting up, you gotta choose.
No.
That's just not... Mm-mm.
No.
No. You figure it out amongst yourselves, all right? Yeah. I'm going to invite both of you to my party. You guys figure it out. Okay? If you don't want to see each other, that's on you.
Yeah.
this is not my problem. I am not doing this.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough because I do get the I'm having an event at my place. Mm-hmm. And normally we would have invited you as a couple and we're still friends with both of you. And it's like, is it going to be awkward? I agree it should be on them. But I could sort of understand the like, okay, we'll invite one person over the other because whatever.
Yeah.
Or you know there'll be tension or you know there'll be... You know if both of them show up, it's going to cause
But I've had friends that are together that show up with tension. I got to tell you.
But I'm going to say it's very, very different to be like, no, we're abandoning any one-on-one interaction, including just basically sitting at a bar and hearing you complain and vent.
Yeah, that's a shit. I'm not defending this villain. I fucking hate that guy.
Didn't even do it once. Yeah. You know what I mean? It would have been one thing if you just had to show up. You just had to be a sounding board, man. That is not a friend.
No, that guy's not a friend at fucking all. Also, I fully believe anybody that chugs white wine is a psychopath. My tummy hurt watching that. I was like, that's not a beverage you chug.
No,
I'm sorry.
There's actually a lot of chugging of beverages in this where I'm like, don't do that.
No.
We'll get to that whole scene later, but Ryan Gosling making Emma Stone, they finally go back to his place or whatever. And like, he's got the muddler out. He's like, he's making an old fat, like pouring. You worked at the bar. You know what's an old fashioned that you pour over the sugar and he's muddling it.
It an old fashioned?
I think so.
I don't think you muddle anything for an old fashioned though, really.
Oh, okay. He was muddling something.
And okay, maybe the sugar, I guess, if you're using a real sugar cube. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
I did rewind it to see. Yeah, he's got the sugar cube. He pours something over it and he crushes it with. Anyway.
Well, that does sound like an old fashioned.
Care was put into this drink in any case. And she chugs it, grabs his and chugs again. I was like, come on. Yeah, that.
Oh no. I think if Emma Stone's in your house, you let her do it. I mean, let her roll out.
I would like Emma Stone. I would let Emma Stone chug a muddled drink, but like the respect, you know?
Oh my God. Yeah, okay. So that friend shit, the wife is, I don't know.
The wife of that
friend is, she's a lot. Yeah. I can't stand that. Well, look at this man who's been dumped. Look at him sleeping with all these women. And it's like, yeah, good for him.
Good for you.
Good for you, bud. It's time to get out there. It doesn't matter. I just almost went down like the dirty.
I'm pretty sure I know what you're
saying. Yeah. You know what I was about to say. Anyway. Time to have some fun.
Get the DW.
Get your dick wet. Anyway, sorry. Of course it was what it was. Craig, we're having a mind meld right now. That was exactly what I was going to say. Of course that's what I was going to say. Get your dick wet. Anyway, yes.
No.
I fully support this venture. Okay.
Yes. And there is. Okay. So like the whole thing with a Cal going out and dating and meeting women and sleeping with them is sort of treated. I don't know how it's treated in this movie because people sort of look at it as like, oh, look at this old man going out and sleeping with all these like young women. Mm. There is sort of that. Although a lot of them, I could not tell if they're age appropriate. Marissa Tomei, by the way, in this movie, great, fantastic, got done dirty.
Absolutely. She did.
I don't know how. This is like the second movie that we've reviewed where Marissa Tomei is like this like sad, desperate girl.
I'm like, on what planet are just boat? Like every time I see that woman, I'm like, there should just be buses of men arriving to your door, knocking and being like, am I the one? Like, is it me?
Yeah. You let Emma Stone chug whatever drink she wants in your house and you call Marissa Tomei back.
Oh, you absolutely do. You absolutely call her back. I don't know what. I think they needed to write in more bad personality traits for that to be believable, quite frankly.
Because it was just that. This is another twist in the movie. It turns out that she is their son's English teacher.
Yes.
Which is I'm here for that's funny. That's yes. like they didn't know, and you know.
And I also love a good come around of like, oh, and here are the consequences to your yes. actions.
Yeah.
Love
call
that.
Her back.
Love a good stripping down. I'll let a man know.
Yeah. You know that your son used the word asshole. She writes it on the board, asshole. She starts yelling at him.
No, I'm here for her for sure.
Yeah, she got done dirty. But like they treat Cal as like, oh, look, he's just out sleeping around. But like,
what's wrong with sleeping? I'm sorry.
No, exactly.
What's
yeah.
wrong? It feels a little slut-shamey to me.
It is.
And it's like, oh, like, it's like Ryan Gosling's doing this. You know, like, what's his name in the movie? Jacob. He's like, ooh, he's such a womanizer or whatever. He uses these lines or what have you. But there's no, like, fallout to it. Like, clearly he's picking women that are just like, yeah, you for tonight. And what is the problem with that?
Thank you. And that's... Okay, so with Jacob, there is this weird thing, especially when they're going through with Cal, like, what steps do you take when you're approaching a woman, mm-hmm. right? And it kind of borders on this weird, like, pickup artist-y sort of thing. But it's not. Like, it seems like everybody in that bar is there to meet somebody, that they're open. You know what I mean? Like, that seems
oh,
like a
DTF.
Bar where...
Oh, they're DTF. Absolutely, yeah. They're DTF.
And it's not like he's lying to them. He's not... you know, manipulating them in any way. Like a lot
well,
of
well, there is like a bit. I would argue there's okay. like a bit of that, and there's like a couple of lines. But like, to be honest, I mean, you know, it's a line. Like, you listen to it, you know, it's a line, and then you just decide. And I gotta tell you, if I woke up next to Ryan Gosling, I wouldn't be like, oh, mistake.
Yeah.
Mistakes were made. No, it's fine. Okay.
Yeah, and we really never see him being actually shitty to women.
Yeah.
It seems like he takes women home and they all have a good time. And
although, okay.
That seems to be
there is,
the arrangement.
Okay. There is one part that actually does make me want to peel all my own skin off. And it's this. It's like the not interesting enough thing.
Oh,
because I've had men do this to me and I literally walk away every time. I'm like, fuck you, dude. It feels like I hate it because it feels like they're like, impress me. And I was like, fucking why? I don't know you. You walked up to me, dude.
Oh, yeah.
The hell is going on here? You walk up to me and you're like, well, impress me. What do you do? Like, do a little dance or whatever the fucking thing
yeah.
is. And it's just kind of like they push you into that corner and I'm like, no, 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 no. This isn't about me impressing you. It's like they're trying to switch it where it's like it's some salesman trick where they're like, no, you actually want them to sell to you almost. You
yeah.
want the customer to be like so into it that they're like, no, you want me to have this. And it's like, no,
yeah.
no, 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 no.
Convince the salesman to allow you to buy the vacuum
yeah,
cleaner.
It's
yeah,
like,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
not.
Yeah.
I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it.
Yeah.
I can't.
Well, okay. So I wrote down sort of the move. So this is when he's okay. going through it with
yes.
Steve Carell when he first approaches Marissa Tomei. So one is buy them a drink, even if they don't want one. No.
No, 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 no.
There has to be.
As a general rule, just for anybody in any situation, your friend, somebody, whatever, somebody that you've invited to a party, okay, a guest in your home. If they say no to a drink, move the fuck on.
Yeah.
Immediately. Immediately.
And we
don't know what time it is.
Exactly. And we see it. Go
it,
wrong
yes.
in the exact next scene, which credit to this movie. She's like, actually, I'm 5 years sober. He's like,
no, cancel it.
Yeah.
Yes. And you, so, but you just shouldn't push somebody to the point where they have to say that, right?
Yes. Yeah, so, oh,
like,
no.
It just should be like,
no,
I don't.
Thank you.
Yes.
For whatever reason.
I
I'm
respond
driving.
To that every time as like, oh, fucking good for you. What do you, I'll make you a mocktail. What do you want?
Yeah. Or like, oh, I can get you a club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But like, regardless, I mean, even beyond it's a drink,
you
should always have the ability to say no. Like, I don't want your
company.
Oh, we're
company. Talking about basic boundaries.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Oh, this guy just steamrolled one of my boundaries. I bet he's going to put a condom on.
This is one I do like. The next one is don't talk about yourself. Make them talk about themselves. I think that's just generally good advice.
That is actually very good advice.
Yeah,
yes,
don't
yes.
talk about yourself.
Or like only when asked and keep it brief or whatever. Just like
yeah,
try
yeah.
and be like, you're well, I'm interested in you, so I should listen to you, look you in the eyes.
That's not a trick.
Treat you like a human being.
It's not a trick. It's just genuine interest.
Look at this trick. It's basic communication. Nailing it. You know how men don't know how to talk properly or shut up?
So great rule. Yes. There for that one. Don't ask them to come home with you. Tell them, again, gross. Like that's that like you can ask and they can say yes and they can say no, but don't
I also
tell
okay
them.
I also don't okay I gotta be honest with you, I don't think that one didn't bother me as much because I was just like, it's not really a you know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess what you're saying, I guess there's like a weakness to like, hey, do you want to like leave or let's get out of here.
Oh, yes. Like saying to me, saying let's get out of here is a question.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yes. When I say that, it's like it's not posed as a question. It is kind of said as, but it's like it's almost like a confident question.
That's it. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a question that ends in a period, but I don't mind it.
But invites response.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Like, I don't think that's a thing that you're like, oh, well, he said I have to, so I better go.
Yeah.
Like,
it's, if for our international listeners, that's why Canadians use A. it's what we do to turn a statement into a question.
You want to go home with me, A?
Like, yeah. You're just like, I mean, it doesn't. Yeah. I guarantee you, Ryan Gosling's Canadian. I'm sure he would say
that's
that.
That's true. Oh, my God. Can you imagine if outside. I aid a man?
Yeah. Cold outside. That's a statement. Cold outside, eh?
That is a question. Yeah.
It's like, now we're talking about the
response.
Weather.
Yes, that's
this is
right.
The most Canadian thing in the world. love our Canada boy.
Let's go to my place, eh? Oh, my God. That man's dick would shrivel up so quick. That's not an attractive.
There's a bar in Lindsay, Ontario that
I'd
flat.
Lean it. You know what I mean? Just a hard lean on the bar.
We should get out of here, eh?
I feel like you have to be wearing plaid to say that.
Plaid or a jean jacket.
Or, a Canadian tuxedo.
Yeah.
I wear all of these things. I love denim on denim. I will commit fashion crimes. I don't care.
Fuck, bud. Get out of here. Eh?
Fuck, bud. Eh?
As a Canadian, that is absolutely a sentence.
Oh, yeah. No, that and like, is,
we're ruining this fantasy for
you.
No,
I got the best one. it's so bad. Oh, fuck, bud. You want to muck my bar?
Oh, welcome to the Ottawa Valley, everybody.
Lord, you're in deep bar haven now, I'll tell you. Deep bar haven.
Put it in Google Maps.
Yeah,
everybody.
Yeah. The garage doors are half up and the standards could not be lower.
Oh, dear God. So, yeah, all this to say, I think mostly Ryan Gosling's thing is pretty above board. Everyone's there to muck barns, as you say. we never see him treating people badly, and it seems like that's what he does, and that's what everyone's there for. Consenting adults, you know what
I
mean?
Yes. Yeah. I don't think, I think if we heard him, promising more, that would be, because, that's always super... Why? You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, I don't understand the point of that. If somebody's hitting on you at a bar and they're just like, oh, I want to take you all these places.
Right.
Do
right,
all
right.
these things. And you're just, it just constant. It's like love bombing. You know what I mean? It's just like constant. Yeah. And then you feel this like higher. It's so inappropriate. But this guy, I'm like,
I'm good looking. You're good looking. We're here to meet people.
Also, quite frankly, if this man, okay, this is my pitch here. If this man was truly a predator, true predators never stay at the same location. Okay. They move around. They go to different bars. This guy goes to the same bar every night.
People know where to find him.
Oh, you know where to find that man. Okay. And he's always eating food for some reason.
It's like he treats it like it's a shift at work.
Yes, exactly. Like he does. He's like, oh, half my burger's done. Time to go get some pussy.
Which is a big move to put down a hamburger, lick your fingers, and then just go. Like,
yes, I guess very few men could pull this off.
Yeah, Ryan Gosling is one of them. So, yeah, and I'm also going to say that his his kind of taking of Cal underneath his wing is actually pretty kind. Like, the things that he's teaching him is like, yeah, man, you can dress good. You can dress well. Like, you can take pride in your appearance. I'm not body shaming you. I'm not saying, like, you're old or, like, anything. Like, he does kind of is like, you got a good head of hair. Not a lot of guys have that your age.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's like, you're wearing, your suit jacket's too big. You're wearing the wrong shoes, like, which is such a fucking young person thing to say. I'm sorry. It's like, what's wrong with New Balance? I'm like, yeah, what is wrong with New Balance? That man's
they
got
make
three,
my knees feel good.
Yeah, that man's got three kids. You think he's got... He doesn't need back support. Jesus, come on. I fucking hate dress. Like, something about a dress shoe just makes my foot, like, literally swell up and, like...
Oh, yeah. No, I feel you.
You know?
I'll still go, though.
I'll wear it, but, yeah. Like, these puppies are howling. You know what I
these
mean?
These puppies are howling!
So, I think a lot of the lessons that he teaches him are actually pretty good.
Yes. I would say that, too. I just love how the through line of this is like the perfect the perfect compliment for a woman is you're the perfect combination of sexy and cute.
Yeah, that's kind of it's I mean, I can that's not a bad compliment, you know what I mean?
No, it's not a bad compliment, but I'd be
it's
like
just like there's higher.
I need to hear more. Tell me more.
Yeah.
Talk about my eyes.
Your eyes are like two eyes. two black dots with two white things around them that are in your head.
Oh, poor cat, eh?
Yeah. yeah, I'm a romantic. What can I say? I have the quote here though. What Jacob says to Cal here, which is, "Your wife cheated on you because you lost sight of who you are as a man."
I was just
husband,
looking at that quote,
and probably as a lover. I was like, harsh but true.
I hate one thing that I don't like about this movie is this idea of like masculinity and being a man and what men need to do.
Yeah.
And it's like, I could say like, I could totally agree with you've lost sight of yourself.
Sure.
You're bored. Like the rest of it, I can totally get on board with it. Right. Like you've lost confidence as a lover. I can tell, like, you know what I mean? Like you've gotten bored, whatever, like all of these things, very fair to say, but it's like, you don't know who, like you've lost sight of who you are as a man. Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
You're right. No, and I didn't catch that, but it does get kind of, it doesn't need to be caught up in the masculinity of it.
Yeah. Like, it's just like, this guy's so like, oh, you're drinking vodka crayons, bud. Get the straw out of your mouth. Like, I hate that so much. Gentlemen, order a pina colada. All right. Get your fruit smoothie on. Okay. Like I just love anything that's just right in the middle there. Like, I'm like, we need to blur all of these lines. Like,
oh, yeah.
Who gives a fuck? A man in a
pina colada.
Listen, team, you know, I love a man in a crop top. Okay. It's one of my, do we not know that? Have we not talked about Rocky? Okay.
Like, oh, okay. Yes.
I love a man in a crop top. It is top 10. One of my favorite things. I love it so much.
Great.
So confident. So, yep, love
it. So, here's the thing. I am actually going to disagree with you here. I am actually against straws, but not because it looks like you're sucking a dick. Here's why I'm against straws. Because how many times have I been in a bar where, you know, I get a Ryan Coke or something, they throw a straw in there, and then you go to take a sip of it, and you forget there's a straw in it, and you fucking poke yourself in the eye.
I think that might be a you thing,
that
Craig.
Might be a me thing.
I've never, and I'm like, I have no spatial awareness.
Oh,
and
no.
I don't think I've ever poked myself in the eye with a straw.
Multiple times. To the point where if I order a drink at a bar that comes with a straw, I will take the straw out, put it down on the bar, and be like, no, thank you.
I would love to see you do that and look at somebody and be like, don't want to look like I'm sucking a dick. I would fucking scream. People would be like, what? Did you know Craig's like this? Like...
Get a couple of Ryan Cokes from me, yeah.
Oh my God.
No, but like this, but that sentence there that we were talking about, aside from the man thing, is my biggest defense of Emily, Julianne Moore's character.
Yes. Okay.
Because let's go back to the very, very beginning of this movie. Mm-hmm. She announces, I want a divorce.
Yes.
Over dessert. Not how you do that. Okay.
Yes. Well, okay.
You don't spring it on somebody. Like, let's say what we want for dessert at the same time, and you go divorce.
I don't know. I kind of get it.
Okay.
I have a really hard time sometimes communicating emotions that I think will upset somebody.
For sure.
Like, I think if I'm going to, like, bother, you know what I mean? If I'm, like, going to hurt you or break you down or whatever it is, it's really hard for me to get that out. And sometimes, and I'm not saying this is good. I would agree with you. This is probably not appropriate, but I do, my heart goes out for this scene because I'm just like, I have been there before where I'm just like, I'm boiling over, I'm bubbling up.
Yeah.
It's like word vomit. It's like, it's got to come out and it's got to come out now or I'm never going to fucking say it. And I have to say it.
Yes. And I'm so glad you brought that up because that is exactly what I think her thing is, where it's like, then on the car ride home, like right after that, she goes, and I slept with somebody and it's this guy from work. It's Kevin Bacon. I slept with Kevin Bacon. I'm 0 degrees separated from Kevin Bacon. and it's like, and then he jumps out of the car rather than have the conversation.
Although
then,
I will say, who amongst us has not wanted to barrel roll out of a car before?
It's on my bucket list. To like avoid a conversation. I just kind of want to at some point jump from a slow moving vehicle and do the roll. And then even just then he's like, fine, just stop talking. I'll sign whatever. I'll move out right away. And she goes, as he's moving out, she's like, again, just dumping on him, being like, I don't know. I'm having a midlife crisis. Uh-huh. Do women have midlife crises? I'm like 44 and I never thought I would be that old. And like, it was a whole thing. And she's like, this is a woman so desperate for the man that she is married to communicate at all, have any conversation. These are not issues that have come up just suddenly when she slept with the guy.
Yeah.
Like that's not the tip of the spear.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like this has been months, years in the making where it's clearly Cal, as he exists at the beginning of the movie, is not a man who is having these conversations that you need to be having. That woman was pushed to, I'm not saying the cheating is right or moral or good or anything, but it's like that doesn't just happen.
Well, sometimes, but not in the couple they've created in this movie.
Right. She's not getting something from him that she needs, which is attention to her fears, her anxieties, the need to, you know, like he's like at the beginning of this movie, he's a fucking wet blanket. He doesn't even, like he just is like, yeah, I'll move out right away without even really having a conversation about it, not having to fight about it.
Need a little couples therapy up in here.
Yeah.
Little couples therapy.
But and then even still, Cal's arc through this is that like, well, he does learn how to stand up for what he wants and fight for the woman he loves and all the rest. And you go, okay, a little too fucking late. You know?
Okay, yeah.
Like that's, you don't get to grow and become that person after you've moved out and you've signed the divorce papers. You needed to do that work in the relationship. And the fact that you did the work after, good for you, wonderful, but she doesn't need to take you back because of that.
No, she doesn't. Well, she doesn't need to. The movie leads off like it's...
Yeah, because you're rooting for them.
Yeah, they're so cute. But I don't know.
Because what you've got here is you've got a guy who's not communicating with, you know, the spark is gone. He even says he stopped trying. And then she goes and finds Kevin Bacon, who, you know, good looking man, right?
Oh, yeah. Well,
all right.
I don't get it. I just don't. I don't get it young. I don't get it old. I don't get it.
Fair enough.
He's just somebody. It misses me. It's. I don't know. I think I needed to have been born like 5 years before I was for this to hit properly.
Fair enough.
I don't understand. And he should be right up my alley. I love somebody that's like weird hot.
Yeah.
And it's not doing it for me.
Fair enough. But I will say like he was just basically the guy who did show her attention and listen to her.
Yeah, I'm going to argue not at fault here.
No.
Because clearly this was her motivations.
Yeah.
Right? And honestly, like, I don't know. Like the movie really poses him as like a oh, look at this, like, you know, try hard loser, yeah, or whatever. But like, listen, if Emily's coming at you, like if Julianne Moore is coming at you, it's not a no.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not a no. And this guy's like clearly got like swept up in it, and yeah, he likes her.
And he's like, I didn't want to fall for a married woman, but like,
here we are. Yeah. Like,
yeah, it does feel like she initiated the relationship.
Yes. And although I gotta tell you, team, if your relationship starts in cheating, that person's gonna cheat on you so bad. They're going to cheat on you so bad.
Yeah.
Because you always convince you're like, I'm the exception. And it's like, no, you're the rule.
Everything.
You're the fucking rule. Yeah. Okay.
Well, and you even see that later on where, you know, they're finally separated and she goes on a date with him and shows up back at her house. He kisses her goodnight. The babysitter comes out
and gets pissed.
And then, Emily is just like, oh, this is a friend from work. He's just a friend from work. Dude, this is a fucking 17-year-old babysitter. You don't need to.
Nope.
What does her opinion matter? This is, you can say he's a friend. You don't have labels or whatever, but she like so specifically like denies that there is anything going on there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like she's like, oh, we were just talking about spreadsheets. Like, oh, that's going to make me feel real good. I took you out for dinner. We had a nice time. You show up and to the babysitter, you're like, oh no, no one can know. Fuck off. Come on.
Yes.
She's treating you badly already.
Okay. Can we?
Yeah.
Oh, did you have more?
Oh, and just like, then the babysitter gives her shit and I'll be like, fuck off. You're a 17-year-old. Get out of my, you know, like I'm not taking romantic advice from my 17-year-old babysitter. I'd be like, life gets complicated. Fuck off.
Here's your 40. Get out of my house. All right. Can we talk about Groban? Because...
Yeah.
Okay, because he is very much posed as like, look at this wiener.
The wiener.
The wiener problem. Yes, it's the wiener problem. And they always are like kind of a villain in a sense. Okay.
Yeah.
I think we could argue that this guy's kind of a villain in a sense of like, oh, look, he's wasting his precious relationship with Emma Stone and look at this or whatever. I am very much going to make, first of all, I'm here for him.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I'm here for him. He got, as you would say, Craig, done dirty. Okay. He got done so dirty because how it unfolds is, okay, so we've got Hannah. She's dating Groban. She's writing her bar exam. They kind of like work, like she's like a, what, like an intern there or something? Or like,
yeah,
whatever.
Law
student.
Paralegal or something.
Paralegal, yeah, whatever. And they, now admittedly, that looks like the saddest restaurant of all time. Okay, this is not the setting for anything. How dare she expect to get proposed to in that restaurant, in that setting?
Yeah.
Okay, no. That's a no across the board.
Okay, yeah, yep.
How dare, based off of one line, he's like, I think you're gonna, like, I think everybody should be present for this. Okay, it's kind of like when you're expecting a gift from somebody and you think it's going to be something that you really, really, really want, right?
Right.
And then you realize that it's just something you really, really need. And you're like, oh, like, and there can be a little bit of disappointment, but put a fucking smile on, say thank you so much. This guy gives her a job right out of the gate. He's like, we would like to welcome you on board.
As a full-time lawyer.
This is the greatest gift.
Yes.
This is the greatest gift.
And the other thing is about this, one, you're right, it's a shitty restaurant. And Hannah's friend is like, well, you don't, like, when he says, like, everyone should come back here when she passes her bar exam because it'll be, I've got something exciting. And she goes, oh, my God, she's going to propose. And her friend says, you don't want that. This is a shit restaurant. This is, like, this is a restaurant in a mall.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, I think is perfectly fine for the party that they're having, right? It's a work party, and they're, like, going out for drinks after a thing. You know, like, that's, it screams, this is corporate acceptable. Someone's putting the check through as an expense later. Uh-huh. It's, you know,
yeah,
reasonably
priced. Yeah, this is a tax write-off.
Yeah, exactly. It's fine. And then, yeah, so when she goes like, oh, you don't want someone to propose to you here. And then when the big announcement, like it would have been worse if he had proposed because that would have been like ultimate wienerdom, right?
Oh, yeah.
But instead, it's a celebration that is perfectly acceptable to have in a restaurant of that caliber.
Absolutely.
Which is, I'm giving you a job because of something that you accomplished. Mm-hmm. And this is also, by the way, something that we've clearly discussed before. Like, I don't even think that was a surprise for her. It's like, hey, when you get your bar, once you pass the bar, we're going to hire you full time. But like, wait until you pass the bar.
Can you imagine?
So he's basically getting her a promotion that she's been talking about forever. And again, perfectly acceptable time and location and setting for like, we'd love to invite her on as a permanent lawyer. We have a cake with a banana on it.
Do you know how unhinged it is to go from, I thought my boyfriend was going to propose, to leaving there and being like, I'm going to go sleep with that guy that kind of wanted me.
Unhinged.
Wow. And you kind of like, as a viewer, you're kind of like, okay, because like her friend's been kind of building it up or whatever. But if you just break that down into like solid actions, you were going to get so fucking divorced. You were going to get the most divorced anyone's ever been divorced. Yeah. Super duper divorced.
And I mean, and the hindsight revelation that her parents are currently getting divorced and she's going a little crazy with that kind of like makes sense. But
they never connect those two things.
No, they don't.
They never connect the dots there. And I agree with you. I think that would have made it a stronger argument.
Yeah. But maybe it's like tipping their hand a little too much at that point, being like,
oh, right, you know, right, right. Because like it's supposed to be the big reveal.
If she says my parents are getting divorced right now and it's hard on me, I think you'd make a connection. But which brings us to, God, they're good together. Emma Stone and... So that she goes back to his place and she's babbling and he's all cool. Like doing the thing that he does best, which is just not saying anything and just like letting things sit.
Mm-hmm.
Love that. I will say though, okay, that scene where she's there and she's chugging the drinks and everything like that. I don't mean this in any way other than there's a slight resemblance between you and Emma Stone.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. So
I get that sometimes.
Exactly. Yeah. Especially in this movie where I was just like, there's something about like,
oh, just the super way fucking pale.
Yeah. Some way the way she carries herself is really whatever. But in that scene, when they're back at her place, all I could think of when they're about to get together was, oh no, Rebecca, look out. That guy's going to lick your teeth.
God, that's so valid. Because you know what? I think there's like this, I feel like there's this idea that men that have like a lot of game and sleep with a lot of women are good at kissing and sex and what have you. And I gotta tell you, you know who's not good at it? A man that never sticks around for a review. Okay. If you're out the door off the first fucking barrel, no, there's no way you're good at this. I'm sorry.
No.
You've never stuck around for a performance review. You haven't gotten a breakdown afterwards of like, hey, you haven't had anybody kind of like help you. I don't know.
Oh, I 100% agree.
Yes.
There's a feedback that needs to happen.
Absolutely.
What in your life are you nailing the first time? Like, poor choice of words, but like, you know what I mean? Like, what recipe are you like knocking out of the park the first time you make it? What sport do you play the first time and you're like a pro at?
Yes, and everyone is a beautiful different snowflake that needs different attentions.
Exactly. You know what it is? It's driving a car. You can be a good driver, but every car has their own thing. You know, like, hey, this one, the key, you got to hold it a little longer with the key, otherwise it won't start, right? Like, you got to, like it'll be a little longer than you think it should, and then it'll start. Yeah. Or it's like, this car, this is a standard. This is an automatic.
Yes.
This car, you have to jump from second to fourth because it won't clutch
You gotta pay a lot of attention to the headlights. There are
sometimes one of the car, the headlight doesn't come up. It's
so weird.
Some days it's a motorcycle, some days it's a semi truck. You know what I mean? Like,
why have I put different people for everything you've said?
Because
I'm like, there's that person,
it's fucking
that
apt is why. It's a fucking apt metaphor.
Okay, so we're starting to get close to the end, and we absolutely need to talk about who I think is the absolute biggest villain in this fucking movie, which is that babysitter.
Okay.
And I would say only for her last action, really. Because, like, a lot of this can be excused with, like, a lot of her actions are, like, she's young.
Yeah.
She's young. She's a teenager. She's 17.
You think you're an adult.
You're we all
not.
Fuck up. Like, things happen. Whatever. Okay. First point I want to make, if you find yourself printing off nudes, first of all, red flag in 2022, but I'll allow it. I'll allow it. All right. We got to scale it up. That's fine. Okay. We got to age it. But I got to tell you, if you find yourself putting, like, stickers on that envelope, stop. Mm-mm. Stop. Mm-mm. Walk away. Walk away. I don't care. Honestly, it doesn't even, I wouldn't even say that just for nudes. I would say love letter, anything. Okay. If you find yourself putting a sticker on it, walk away.
You're too young.
Walk away. It's not, it's not your time. Okay. I'm sorry. It's just not your time. But she does something at the end, and it's supposed to be, like, really sweet of, like, oh, like, he's, and she, so there's this whole, like, big fight that happens because her parents find these nudes that she's printed off for Cal because she's in love with him.
Got some bad advice from an older girl at school.
Yeah. Oh, who hasn't? Who amongst us has not? Every person on the planet has gotten bad advice from an older kid at school. Okay. Or the same, or whatever. Anyway, so they get in this huge fucking fight. Everybody, there's miscommunications happening. Everybody gets punched in the face. And at the very end, because the child,
the 13-year-old,
the 13-year-old who is a tiny adult, and I terrifying every time when they write tiny adults, I'm like, how did you fuck up this kid? Because every time they're like, they're an old soul. It's like, oh, so they're just trauma. They're just walking around with trauma. It's so insane. She, as a gesture, after he's like, I love you so much, da 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 da. First of all, don't communicate with this child. Communicate with the parents. Be like, this is what's happening. It's very inappropriate. I think you need to monitor your 13-year-old's use of his cell phone. Okay, because he's sending me aggressive, like, a lot of text messages. At the end, as some sort of, like, oh, you love me, she gives him, this child, this 13-year-old kid, her nudes.
Yeah.
And that's supposed to be like a...
Yeah, it's weird.
It's so gross. It's gross. I'm sorry. Okay, if you... My thought process is always switch the gender roles and see if it fucking freaks you out.
Yeah, that would freak you out.
Oh!
Yeah.
Oh!
Yeah.
Oh, I hate it. I hate it. I hate it, and I hate it even without the role reversal, quite frankly.
Yeah, it doesn't feel
good. Nope. I was like, when was this movie released?
2011 or something
20,
like that?
Yes, 2011. What the fuck was happening? Because sometimes you watch something from a movie for 10 years ago, and you're like, how was everyone not screaming?
Yeah. Well, as one of our listeners, we mentioned that we were doing this movie on Twitter, and they were like, oh, I'm so excited for you guys to do this movie because I love the A and B plot, but, like, absolutely hated the C plot. And, like, I'm just like, I don't remember what the C plot is. And then as I'm watching, I'm like, no, it's the babysitter one, and you're absolutely right.
Yeah, you're right.
Steve Carell and Julianne Moore. Yeah,
I'm here for that.
Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling. Yeah, I'm here for that.
Love
the weird kid thing. Mm-hmm. You know, and this movie's 2 hours, and I think if you cut a lot of that weird teenage kid crap, you could get this down to a good hour and a half, perfect length.
That would be perfect for sure. Or even just, like, cut off the end part. Like, there is something, like, kind of there's, like, a little bit of something of, like, okay, he's a kid and he's still, like, he's trying to understand boundary.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's learning.
Yes.
Maybe he starts to fall in love with somebody more age appropriate. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
just this idea that there's like one person for every
insane. So, and this is another big point I want to make, is the advice that you give your 13-year-old son about relationships is not the advice that you give yourself or your friend in the midst of a divorce.
Because
you
know what it's mean? Different.
It's different. It's you know, it's training wheels versus a road bike is what it
yes.
is, right? You go, it is you need to learn to fight for the person that you love. Mm-hmm. Is that good advice for someone who's been married for 25 years? Abso-fucking-lutely it is.
Yeah.
Right? Remember that you love this person, and remember that, like, you don't let just things degrade. Like, you fight for it and you stand up for what you want, and mm-hmm. you stand in front of that person and you go, we can work on this. That's great advice. But just to give that all willy-nilly to a teenager when he's like, a girl I'm in love with doesn't love me back, and you go, tough break. Did you ask her? Right? Yeah. She said no. Well, you move on. Lots of fish in the sea.
Move the fuck on. Yeah. Your advice shouldn't be keep trying, keep harassing.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, the lesson there should be nope. Like, well, you did, like, congratulations, buddy. You did all that you could. It took a lot of courage to ask her out. I know it's hard to put yourself out there. Keep doing that. I know it hurts right now, but like, when they say no, they mean it, and that's just fine. That wasn't meant to happen. You know what I mean? Like, we're different levels of competent here.
Absolutely.
Like, he's learning how to put shapes into similar size shapes.
I think it might be a little more advanced. But yes.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Oh my God.
So terrible.
Yes, absolutely. It feels like we're ready for scales.
I think so, yeah.
I absolutely. Okay, so my scale this week, and I'm rating the Baconator, because I think he's the biggest. I think the movie views him as the biggest villain in this movie. And I'm doing the drinks Ryan Gosling thinks you should order at a bar. So from the lowest thing, so from the thing you shouldn't drink, pina colada with an umbrella and all the fruit and fixings, to what you should drink, whiskey shot straight into your eyeball, because you're a man, I am going to give the Baconator a... dirt in a glass with literal rocks, because it's not a drink and he's not a villain.
I love it. So in honor of a similar thing of the shoes that you're allowed to wear, so I did the shoe scale. So from New Balances all the way up to Oxfords, I'm going to give Emily, Julia Moore's character, a Chuck Taylors, some Converse Chuck Taylors. It's fine if you're in your 20s, but in your 40s, you realize they aren't offering the support that you need, and you need to get out of that shit immediately.
Good one.
Many a wasted back.
And guys, before we get to our heroes and villains of the week, as always, there's a couple of ways you can help out the podcast. If you guys want to follow us on Twitter, we're at VWR Podcast. If you want to follow us on Facebook, The Villain Was Right. If you want to email us, villainwasright@gmail.com. If you want to rate and review us, that would be amazing. If you like this podcast, please rate and review us. It helps us work up on the rankings. We need that. If you don't like us, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Scream it into a pillow. I don't care. No, it's fine. You do it. You do you. You get out there. And if you got a couple of bucks.
Yeah, you can support us on Patreon. Patreon.com/thevillainwasright. So Patreon, if you don't know, is a monthly subscription service where you can support artists like The Villain Was Right and receive some awesome benefits. So even at just $1 a month, we offer ad-free episodes. So if you want these episodes, same as you hear them now, but just without the ads, you absolutely can do that. Just pop the RSS feed into your podcast player and away you go. We have a whole bunch of other tiers, including access to bonus episodes, two bonus episodes every month, and voting on our audience choice episodes, early release of episodes. So head on over to patreon.com/thevillainwasright. Check out those tiers. And thank you for supporting us. And thank you to all of our patrons who support us already. You guys are the best. And now it is time for our heroes and villains of the week. I've got a hero this week.
Wonderful.
And I'm going to call it Industry Gossip is my hero.
Ooh!
Industry gossip.
Just
the general concept of every industry having its own gossip.
Oh, very interesting.
So,
okay.
So this is what happened. Basically, I went to go get my haircut earlier this week. And in middle of the day, you know, on a Thursday or whatever, it's not very busy. So there's like two barbers in there, a guy and a girl. And like I made an appointment with the one guy. And I sit in the chair. And very uncharacteristically, this guy, not about the small talk at all. Like he just goes about his work and like, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
You know, like I talk enough on the podcast and on stage. Like I don't need to.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he loves big talk.
Like, no. Just like silent. Yeah, okay. Like, and you're doing your work and you just want to sit there silently and not do it. I'm fine. I think you did a fine job. It's all good. So again, not busy. The other barber, she's just like sitting there like on her phone waiting for people to come in. And this kid, like 20 something kid comes in. And he's like, can you guys do a haircut? And she's like, yeah, absolutely. He goes, I need someone to fix this, right? I need someone to fix this haircut. She goes, okay. And like he sits in the seat next to me and she's looking at it. And she goes, oh my God, when did you try and do this yourself? And he goes, no. Like, it's like, he's like.
Oh, what a burn.
Yeah.
Did you do this yourself? You don't want to hear that from a hairdresser. No.
No. Well, I mean, I'd rather the answer be yes in that case. You know, like,
yeah.
Hey.
I don't think you want to hear that about anything, though.
No.
Like, if you show somebody something and they're like, oh, did you do this yourself?
Yeah. I would feel better if I had done it myself because at least there's an excuse to screw it up. But he's like, no. I got this haircut. I went to this place and they just messed it up real bad. She goes, okay, I mean, I'll do what I can, like, you know, figure it out. And then my barber, who's been silent this entire time, goes, where'd you get your haircut? And he goes, oh, I don't remember the name of the place. And he goes, well, where was it? And this kid gives him like the intersection. And he goes, was it this one? He goes, I don't know. I don't remember. And he goes, what color were their barber chairs?
Whoa.
He's like, were the barber chairs gold? And then the kid's like, yeah, the barber chairs are gold. And he's like, at that intersection, those chairs, he's like, I know which one that is. And he says the name of the place. And he was like, was it that one? He's like, I think it was. And then he's like, yeah. And then just goes back to cutting my hair. And I was just like, oh, that guy wanted the dirt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that guy? But just from stone silent to just so interested in getting the dirt on this. Like, and he knew, oh, it was great. I was like, oh, we're not the only industry that does this.
Oh my God, that's great. Yeah, oh yeah. We're all gossip queens, by the way.
Yeah.
Comedians are the worst for that shit. You get into a car for a gig and it's on.
Yeah.
It's like, well, what do you know? Oh my God. Okay, so guys, I've got a villain this week. Oh my God. So I went down to Windsor, Ontario for a gig. I was out. Oh guys, I fuck up all the time. I just book myself so inappropriately all the time. I just say yes to things and then I get to the moment and I'm like, why did I do this to myself? So I was in, none of these places mean anything, but I'm in Haliburton, Ontario in the morning because I did a gig there the night before and I fucking had to go right to Windsor, which was like basically nine hours of travel, pretty much. My train was an hour and a half extra. Like, it was just like, there was just shit on shit happening that day. I was absolutely destroyed. I go do the gig. I'm like, I'm fucked up. I'm not correct. Like, the gig went well, but I was just like, I'm mentally out of my mind. I'm staying at an Airbnb. I got the cheapest Airbnb I could. I was like, I'm going to go in and I'm going to go out. I'm going to catch the train 5:30 in the morning. The next morning, I'm going to sleep for 5 fucking hours. I don't care. So I ended up, and I didn't realize this, but I ended up booking myself an Airbnb and like apparently what is one of the wildest neighborhoods in Windsor, which is not what you want to hear. Windsor's an insane place if you've never been. It's fucking nuts. Anyway, so I'm in this like super sketchy neighborhood. It's fine. Like, I don't give a fuck. Whatever. It'll probably be fine. I'm like, this will be fine. Whatever. But I'm starving. The showrunners have dropped me off at my Airbnb. I'm starving. I need to go find food. I roll up to this. What they call themselves a shawarma shop. I disagree. That man put corn on my shawarma. And I was like, I'm breaking down on the inside. I've never seen this in my life. This man. There was a change. Anyway, it was a whole thing. I didn't care. I hadn't eaten all day. I ate the full fucking thing. But I say, this man walks up to me outside And like, guys, you know this. I talk to strangers all the time. I have small town face. That's what I like to call it. I've got small town face. People want to talk to me. I want to listen. Okay, so this guy comes up to me. He's kind of like, you can tell he's like kind of drunk, but I'm like, well, whatever. We're having chit chats. He's like, you gonna eat at this place? I was like, yeah. And he goes, okay, sick. I think I'm gonna eat at this place too. And I was like, I'm getting it to go. I'm getting out of here. Anyway, so we're talking while this guy is making my shawarma, we'll call it. And this guy starts going off about how he's like, oh, and he's like trying to flex. And like, it becomes very apparent to me very quickly that this man is actively hitting on me. And I was like, oh, okay, this is going to be a no for me. How do I escape? Anyway, so this guy's talking about how he's a musician and he's like trying to really flex. You know what I mean? He's like, oh, you got to look me up on Spotify. So I do, because I'm game. Okay, I want to see what this is, right? So I look him up on Spotify and he's... And it made me like, not to like everybody follow your dreams, but this guy is like really trying to flex on me hard. And I'm like, bro, it says you have 10 listeners a month. Like, I can't, I don't know about this, but he's like, you got to follow me. I'm like, yeah, I'll follow you. Like, I'll listen to anything. I'm down. Like, I told that man, I was like, I'm going to listen to your dance hall album. And I did it. God damn it. I did listen to it, but he says one of the, and this is what makes him a villain, is he says the saddest thing I've ever heard. He goes, yeah, you know, I had to leave my partner and my children. I just needed to make music. I needed to make this album. And then he's like, so what are you saying tonight? And I'm like, oh no, 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 no. That's not the lead up to that. That's not the lead up to that, right? And I was like, well, I definitely have to listen to this album now. You left your partner and your kids for this album. This is gonna, I gotta tell you, team, this was the worst music I've ever heard in my fucking life. Oh. I was alone in Windsor, Ontario, in the craziest Airbnb I've ever been in. All the lights were on. Every clock had a different time on it. It was insane. I felt like that was the highest I've ever been. I wasn't high. I was just like, I am on drugs right now. I am alone in this Airbnb room, scream laughing at this poor man's album. Anyway, point is, I have at least doubled his viewership because I cannot stop sending it to people. I will not say, I'm not here to shame anybody. I'm not going to say what his name is, but it was just one of the craziest interactions. He's got to be my villain of the week. Go back to your partner and kids, please. I beg of you. I beg of you. Or maybe you saved them from something. That actually, you know what? Don't listen to me. Anyway, that's...
I love a good road story.
Oh my God, Windsor. Windsor, I'm sorry. Windsor never, ever, ever disappoints. Anyway. Guys, that's been us from The Villain Was Right. As always, you can follow me at Rebecca Reads on any platform of your choosing.
Yeah, and you can follow me at Craig Faye Comedy, Facebook, Twitter, CraigFaye.com for show updates. And make sure to check out my album, which is going to be released October 21st. October 21st for Performance Review, my brand new stand-up album. If you're on Spotify or listening to this right now, head on over to CraigFaye.com, follow the links. And you can actually pre-save the album, so it'll come out right in my music or whatever when it's released. So go ahead and do that.
Awesome. And guys, next week, I'm so excited. It's my favorite month of the year.
Yeah.
We are starting kind of scary movie month, and we're starting it off with an absolute banger, guys. We're doing Anaconda. I'm so fucking excited. And guys, this is The Villain Was Right, reminding you to never, ever give out your nudes in an envelope.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The Villain Was Right is produced by Andrew Ivamy as part of the From Superheroes Network. For more great podcasts like this, as well as webcomics, articles, and so much more, visit FromSuperheroes.com.